for the mom with her hands full and only a few minutes to spare here and there. Put your hand on your chest. Take a deep breath. You're doing better than you think you are. I want you to delight in these ordinary, often mundane days of motherhood, rooted in confidence about how you are raising and speaking to and nurturing your kids. Peace starts with you. So let's create peaceful safe havens for our kids to grow in. It's never too late, and the fact that you are here speaks volumes of the amazing mom that you are and desire to be. So we're 12 episodes in, and I'm about a little over 2 weeks into my social media fast. And I am learning just so much. I would encourage everyone to do it. Our phones, I believe, make us enjoy special moments less. This afternoon, tonight, after dinner, we made a fire in our outdoor fireplace, and I was just sitting there so content and so peaceful, and I was just like, man. Like, I was just in the moment. I was watching the little expressions on my boys' faces and the way they interact and just giggled and laughed and jumped and just the fire crackling. And I was just so aware and so present and so at peace. And I feel like when we are so addicted and so distracted by our phones, we miss out on so much. All those little things that really are the big things, like our ability to be still and think and observe. And, you know, if I didn't truly believe that I had value to offer the world, but just even just one person, I know I would get rid of my social media. But I love the fact that I get to, you know, share what I'm learning and add value to people. And so when I go back on in the next couple weeks, I feel like I'm going to come on with, I have so many like just things that I'm going to change. And I know I shared this in a couple episodes ago, but I was so just like, I wasn't on it a ton. I mean, maybe more than the average person, like 1 hour a day on Mondays when I have help with my boys. I was on it at like 2 hours average. But it wasn't like one full focused hour. It was like 5 minutes here and 10 minutes there and another 5 minutes here and then like 45 minutes before bed. And it was just like distracted. And so one of the things I've learned is that when I go on, it's going to be focused and intentional, and I'm going on, and when I'm done, I'm logging off. No more picking up my phone to walk to the bathroom, to sit on the toilet, to lay in bed before I go to bed. To drive, you know, when my husband was driving, I always, like, I found myself grabbing my phone to go on social media, and I'm like, wait, I don't have it. I guess I have to talk to my husband. But I just realized I was so distracted. So hopefully that's really, really encouraging to someone. But that's not what I wanted to talk about today. So I ended last week's podcast saying, peace starts with you. And that's the name of this podcast. And I ended the episode saying out loud, repeated, as if you were saying it, peace starts with me. Peace starts with me. I wanted you to really just grasp that you have the power to change everything. But that's only true to some extent. And although it may work for a little while, you know, we try and find peace in all these things, in social media and likes and just having the perfect home and just our kids or what, fill in the blank, whatever it is. We try to find peace in all these things and we try to fill this void within us, but it never lasts. Without Jesus, that peace will never last. There is no peace without Jesus. Peace comes from Jesus. Peace when life is full and amazing. Peace when our lives are chaotic and crumbling. And peace beyond understanding when something happens that seems unbearable. He gives peace unlike anything in this world, peace beyond understanding. And we search and search for things in this world to fill that void within us, but nothing is lasting outside of Jesus. So when I say peace starts with you, I truly, you know, believe that peace comes from Jesus. And then once you have that, it's like, man, this peace that you have fills your soul, and then it's able to overflow into your husband, into your family, into the atmosphere of your home, into every single person that walks in your front door. And I don't know how many of you believe in Jesus, and I know there's got to be a lot of you guys that don't. And I sure hope that no matter what you believe in, that you stick around, because I have so much goodness to share over the next, you know, obviously I'm planning on doing this indefinitely, but in the next year, like as I plan out episodes for the, you know, rest of this year and the beginning of next year. But I felt like I couldn't keep going without addressing that very important part of the peace equation. You know, I feel like when I was younger, I always was like drawn to Jesus. I remember always carrying around my Bible. My parents were Christians, but I don't think we went to church. I remember my mom saying, like, when I was young, I asked her, like, why don't we go to church? And then I think we started going to church again. I don't know if that's, you know, exactly how it went down. But I would say, like, I believed in Jesus, but I didn't really know what I was saying until I want to say it was my junior year of high school, I started struggling with an eating disorder, and I remember this moment so clearly. I remember exactly where I was at. I was in the pantry at my parents' old house, and I remember the devil speaking to me. Like, this thought that came into my head, there is nowhere else it could have come from. It was straight from the devil himself, and it kept me captive for years. I struggled with an eating disorder my junior year of high school, my senior year of high school. I struggled with it, you know, the summers in between, and then going into college, and then a year and a half of college. And then I ended up, I guess I don't want to really say dropping out, but I guess I really did drop out of college to open up a clothing store. And I've moved back in with my parents. And that's when I was just like, I am so captive to this. Like, how am I ever going to live life? Like, I literally felt like it was sucking the life right out of me. And the only thing, you know, up until that point, I had told multiple people, thinking that, like, okay, when I tell someone, they're going to be able to help me. They're going to give me help. They're going to help me get through this. I remember getting baptized, thinking that, like, okay, this is going to mark the last day that I struggle with this. And nothing ever worked. Until I started reading the New Testament. I started in Romans and I read all the way through Revelation. And it started out like, I don't even think I was excited to read. I felt like very much like, what the heck am I reading? Is this, like, I wasn't even really into it. But over time, I started looking forward to my mornings. I'd have my coffee. I wasn't drinking tizzies at the time, but I had my coffee and I would sit there for a long period of time, and that time just kept growing and growing and growing until I could sit there for an hour plus. And I read through the New Testament from Romans to Revelation, and by that time I finished, I did not struggle with it at all. Every single chain was broken. And if you look in my Bible, it has, like, when I first started, like, marks of how many days that I, you know, didn't give in to that temptation. And some days it was like 10 days. Some days it was, you know, 3 days, a 3-day streak. And some days it was like a 21-day streak. And eventually I didn't have to make those marks because I never struggled with it again. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, the word of God is stronger than any two-edged sword. And to the normal, not normal person, but to the random person, that is like, yeah. Like, that doesn't even make sense. But as I read it and it, like, really worked in my life and took away something that I thought would always hold me captive, like something I never thought that I would be free from, it was a miracle. And it's so funny because, you know, in that moment and even like years following that, I always was like, man, that was the one thing that the devil was trying to use to trip me up. And man, it was a big deal. But now I'm like, man, the devil uses things that we think aren't big deals. Like, an eating disorder is a big deal. But being distracted is not, I mean, it just isn't as pressing of an issue. It's not as evident. Everybody's distracted. And so I'm like, nope, distraction is what the devil had in mind to, you know, keep me from really experience the joy and the peace of Jesus. And I just share this in hopes of wherever you are at, if you are in a place where you just feel beaten down or like there is no hope or it's impossible to find peace, or maybe you get a glimpse of what peace and hope feels like, but it just doesn't last. And so I hope this is encouraging. This is not what I was planning on talking about, but I feel like it's really important when talking about peace and peace, you know, coming from you. So what I really want to like touch on, and it's it's something we all know, but I think we could be reminded of it really often. You know, as mothers, we are the number one influence in our kids' lives. You are the one that creates the atmosphere of your home, and it's with your attitude. We get this privilege of lighting up when we see our kids and sharing with them the happiness that we feel. Like, our happiness is contagious. Peace and joy will come easy for some of you, and it's going to be harder for others of you. Some of you are going to have to start praying a lot. But I believe one of our ultimate goals of being a mom is that our kids know that when we see them, we are excited, we light up, and that when we are with them, we are happy and we are thankful and we are joyful. And when our kids and our husbands can count on us to be happy, I can guarantee you the atmosphere of our homes and our relationships, they will take a leap towards heaven. And when our kids wake up in the morning, when we pick them up from school, or when they walk through the front door from a weekend away, they need to know that they are going to see your face just beaming with joy and happiness. Living in your home should be an absolute blast for everyone. Maybe you have to develop your sense of humor, but use humor. Learn to smile a lot. Laugh. Love life. Like, I love the weekend. I love church. I love dinners outside on the patio, having friends over, listening to music together, reading a good book, building a fort. Just whatever you do, use the word I love over and over again. Love everything, and then especially make sure that they know that you love them. Celebrate life. Go the extra mile. You know, we have to make dinner, right? We have to grocery shop. That's the first mile. Why not make it special? Why not put out candles for dinner, or pick some flowers, or a picnic in the grass? Like, why not get popsicles when you're at the grocery store and let them eat them on the way home, roll the windows down, and blast their favorite song? We can influence joy and happiness in our kids. It's contagious. We get to pray, we get to provide, and we get to play. And we can ask God to fill our hearts with more love for our kids, with love that prays for and takes care of our kids, a love that teaches and trains them, a love that laughs and plays. But you can ask God to fill your heart with more love for your kids. Like, how cool is it that our home can be like heaven on earth for our kids and our husbands, just for our families? It can be their safe haven and their sanctuary. I guarantee you every effort that you make will make a positive difference. And what a gift, like, if each of our kids and our husbands, like, what a gift for them to know that your house is the one place on earth where everything will be all right. Like, it's their safe place. It's your safe place. There's a quote, and it says, "A secure home life tends to reduce frustration and uneasiness in a child's life, and it gives them the ability to cope with pressures more effectively." So let's band together and make it our goal this week to literally just make our house so freaking fun. Like, just special and fun, and, you know, create these moments that just, and create an atmosphere with nothing else. Like, you don't need to go buy anything. You don't need to paint the walls. Like, create the atmosphere with your attitude. And I'm going to repeat this because I think it deserves repeating. Some of you guys are going to have to work harder at this. Some of you guys are going to have to pray a heck of a lot. But don't think for one second that this can't be something that you can obtain. Who do you think is responsible for the quality of life in your home, in the place where your family lives? It's you. You set the mood and you maintain the atmosphere inside your home. And there's a verse in Proverbs that says, "If the woman is wise, she diligently and purposefully creates the atmosphere." She doesn't just hope it will happen. She's intentional about it. So I'm going to end on this, but the word love in the Bible, when it uses the word love in reference to our husbands, in the Greek language, it's the kind of love that God has for us as his children. He loves us in spite of our sin. He loves us unconditionally. He loves us regardless and no matter what. And certainly, like, as mothers, like, we are to love our kids like this, this godly love. But in Titus 2:4, when it's talking about motherly love, mothers are to love their children. In the Greek, it's a different type of love. It's a different word altogether, and it means affectionate love, a love that cherishes its object. It's a friendship love, a love that enjoys children, a love that likes them. So yes, training and discipline and instruction is important, but God also commands us to treasure our children. I want to end with this one story, and it's about a father and his son, but I think that it will inspire you as a mom. So this is written by his son about his dad, and it says, "Something about my father attracted me like a magnet. When school was out, many times I would rush to his hardware store instead of going out with my friends. What drew me to my father? Why did I prefer to visit with him over some of my favorite activities? As soon as I set foot in his store, it seemed as if his whole personality lit up. His eyes sparkled, his eyes gleamed, and his facial expressions immediately conveyed how glad he was to see me. I almost expected him to announce, 'Look, everybody, my son is here.' I loved it. Although I didn't realize it at the time, those tremendously powerful nonverbal expressions were the magnets that drew me to him. 93% of our communication is nonverbal. Whenever you see your child light up with enthusiasm, especially in your facial expressions and tone of voice, that light comes from the inner knowledge that he is valuable." So as mothers, you and I are the number one influence in our kids' life. We have that privilege of lighting up when we see them. Our happiness is contagious. So I hope this encourages you. I know I shared a bunch of different random stuff like social media fast, a little bit about my testimony, and then just how to find that joy and how important that joy and happiness is that lives in us to overflow into our kids and their lives and their personalities and their atmospheres. So I hope you have the best rest of the week. Go have fun. And remember that peace starts with you.